question is something from the nursing home yesterday. You know, everybody has an opportunity to serve somebody. And, you know, remember Bob Dylan? He wrote that song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And how much better it is to serve the Lord rather than serve the other. And so, you know, we go in a nursing home. Last Sunday we had 17 people in the church service. There's only 65 people in the whole nursing home. So 17 people, that's quite a percentage. And we do a lot of singing and a little sharing the gospel. But predominantly the people love songs. And what we found last week was a documentary called Alive Inside. And Alive Inside is a testimony, a documentary about how one social worker out west got a vision for playing music with an MP player and earbuds to dementia and Alzheimer's people. Mm-hmm. So they documented it, have a picture of these people who are, you know, like this. I mean, they're just sitting in the chair. And it's an excellent, excellent documentary, and really encouraged me, because I go from bed to bed and I sing songs, and it changed the atmosphere of the room, the people. And they literally, the guy talks to the family members about what was their favorite music when they were growing up. And it could be piano music, it could be classical, it could be rock and roll, it could be whatever it is, right? So they put it on the MP player, plug it in, and you could see the people literally like a rose opening up like a bud. And the people are tapping their hands, moving their feet, opening their eyes, and you go, well, what's the science behind this? And they give you the science behind it, because in the back of the brain, it's the last part of the brain that gets affected by anything. It's the last part that actually dies when you die, where the hearing and the thing of music is in there. So, isn't it like God to do something like that? That you could take music, like Ephesians 5 talks about. It says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They make a melody in your heart. Now, I've seen this. I've woken up one person out of a coma with a song. Okay? I witnessed it. Five people witnessed it too, and they couldn't believe it, because after I finished, she went back to sleep and she died 30 hours later. And so this guy has a vision to go across the country to get MP players for these dementia. There's 5 million dementia Alzheimer's people in America. And he says they cost $40, right? He says the doctor has no problem writing a $1,000 script, but I can't get a $40 MP player, which would improve their quality of life. Because you get a person who's just moving, you can move a moving person. But try to move a person who's not movable, very difficult. It actually takes, they say, 5 million of these patients takes 10 million people to work.
Wow.
Because they're that catatonic. And now you put a $40 thing on there, and the people are, some of them got up and danced.
Sounds like that Patch Adams. He actually did that.
Yeah.
They did revert that.
And so music has this amazing ability to supersede the problems of our lives. You know, listen, Elsie, when you came in, that was a couple months ago, and you played those songs, man, I'm telling you, it changed the table. It changed the table, because you know what? One, it's music. Two, it's songs of faith, okay? Which helps us through our day, you know? The Lord didn't say, give me this day my monthly bread, daily.
Yeah.
And so we only need what we need for today, but tomorrow will take care of itself. It's a, what did it say? It says the evils are enough for tomorrow. Just let's take care of today. And so that thing with music and it was very encouraging for me because, you know, I've been there 12 and a half years, probably.
Wow.
Have visited over 10,000 beds.
Wow.
And that's one at a time.
Wow.
You know? And so you say, well, can I have an effect in somebody's life? Yes, you can. Go visit somebody. You know, if every one of us just visited one person, just one person, it would change the world.
Yeah.
But there's so many people just not doing anything that...
The same old adage, if everybody brought one person to church,
yeah,
the world would be evangelized in no time.
So, you know, pray and ask God to, you know, open up the doors. Or how about this? Open up my eyes so that I might see. You know, God, I want to have your eyes. I want to have your vision. You know, every time I have my own vision, I only get in trouble.
Uh-oh.
You know? And so, Lord, open up my eyes. Help me to see opportunities along the way, because they come every day, but we don't see them, you know? And I just encourage you brothers to see the treasure along the way, because before too long, we're home. We're home. What do we have? We have 10, 20 years maybe, tops. Oh, 30 if you're a good boy and eat your meat and vegetables, right? How much challenge you've been challenged in the last years just because of diet, right? And now you're starting to change and it makes a difference.
You know, you brought up in what you just talked about, basically the scripture that says, choose this day whom you will serve. You know, when you walk into a group of people, and we're all guilty of choosing the wrong person. You remember, the air is controlled by forces, demonic forces, most of the time. You know, when you walk into that situation, you can either submit to them forces in your conversations among people, or you can choose whom you serve, and you can take the word of God, or music, or both, or whatever, and change the atmosphere just by coming into the midst of it, presenting something. You know, we too often don't do anything, and it allows it to continue to manifest. Mm-hmm. Thereby, the atmosphere doesn't change. You know, but you'd be surprised how a Christian can walk into a group of people, and I'm not saying you won't pay a price for doing it. Okay, you'll probably have to pay a price. You know, but they will shut up a lot of times and stop talking about things they shouldn't be talking. You know, when they're being coarse and whatever, if they know you're a Christian, oh, I'm sorry. You ever hear them tell you that all the time? You know, it's because your life is affecting them when you come into their presence. And if you bring the word into it, if you have the opportunity to, you know, you can actually change that atmosphere, the whole conversation, the whole topic, and place it onto, center it onto the Lord. So what you're doing is you're choosing, at that point, who you're going to serve, you see? Now we all are human, and we all take the wrong path all the time, so, you know.
We usually take the path of least resistance.
Right, or take the path of least resistance. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
You know, we're like the sheep. Yeah. If we're not listening to the shepherd, yeah, we're going our own ways and whatever. So, you know, it's just something that, you know, be aware of when you see the opportunity.
Once you settle in it and you flow in it, that's why Jesus said, take my yoke, it's easy. Once you get used, once it becomes a habit, once it becomes a way of life, it's just a natural reaction that you run against negative and you hit it with positive.
And you can't go to, you can't determine your mind, okay, I got smacked for doing this, so I must not be in God's will. Well, that's not true at all. You see, because the enemy's going to try to discourage you, at least at first. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So you might get smacked around a couple times.
Yeah, he'll only try to trip you up.
Yeah.
So if you fall forward. You still
just don't lose heart. You know.
Well, the life of Joseph is mentioned in 11 chapters of Genesis. And how would you like your brothers selling you into slavery? I mean, you talk about things that suck. I mean, your own brother selling into slavery?
Very people you trust and love.
Oh, gosh. And then, of course, it's about 13 years before he finally, you know, he gets to jail. Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape and on and on. And Potiphar didn't. It was interesting because Potiphar knew his wife was a floozy, so
actually,
he didn't kill Joseph.
Longer than 13 years.
You know?
It was probably longer. Jacob only lived 17 years after moving to Egypt. Meaning Joseph was probably 70 by the time he was released from prison.
The point is,
actually, when he interpreted the dream, okay, when he interpreted the dream of the seven good years and the seven bad years, that was approximately age 30, which is the age that Jesus was anointed by John in the baptism, and that's where we see the voice from heaven. Okay, what did it say? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. The dove fell upon him, and that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Pharaoh, at that time, and I believe it was 30 years old again, was when he said, who can we get for this job to save the world? And it's you, and I am now changing your name to Zaphnath-Paneah, which means Savior of the World. Fantastic. So, wow, what a picture of Joseph. Now, 14 years go by, 7 years of plenty, they have found these huge grain storage bins that were buried in the sand. And that's how that grain was stored, buried, and you would walk down into the bottom of the silo, open the thing, and you'd get your grain, and it would just pour out. Now they had so much grain they couldn't even count it anymore. So enough for the world to eat. I mean, that's huge. And so he really was Savior of the world. And then, of course, the story goes that he was given Pharaoh's daughter. And what was the first child? Was it Manasseh or Ephraim?
Manasseh.
Yeah. And it meant, Manasseh meant, and I will forget my father's family or something like that. And because, hey, Joseph's heart was still to know his daddy. And during that 7 year period, that's when his family came back for help because they were starving. And then approximately 3 years into that, he gets to see his daddy again. And that was like, you know, his dream to see his dad again. And can you imagine if you thought your beloved son, who was favored, he had the coat of many colors, it was his son from Rachel whom he loved. I mean, Leah was a wannabe, Bilhah was another wannabe, and listen, I'll give you another one to lay with, and we'll have a couple more kids. So, you know, he had four wives, but Rachel was his love. And then of course the story goes with Benjamin, and I want Benjamin to come, and you know, so, I mean, Joseph really had a great testimony of living his life in what I believe is a representation of what was coming, the redemption of man through Jesus Christ. It was the same age chapter. And how many chapters do you know in the Bible that talks about one man? Well, the only one we have in the New Testament is Jesus, okay? But otherwise, you know, you have a few things about Abraham, you have a few things about Isaac, Jacob, David, right? But Joseph, 11 chapters. It's pretty unique. And, so,
You know, when I get out of there, the tapestry.
I'm sure they. Oh,
it's right. How God just had to weave all this and bring that in there. And I guess with Corona, it's like God's telling me, be still and know that I'm God. That is the hardest thing I've ever been able to do. I'm like this and that. I'm weaving the plan. But to know that but the plan could be 3 years down the road. The plan could be 400 years down the road. And to relax and say you're part of the plan.
You're in it.
Part of the plan. Yeah. This is this. And to say that he's got a plan that I can't see. That takes faith.
Well, that's what, you know,
so that's
Hebrews,
what I'm seeing from
Hebrews says. Faith is the substance of those things not seen. And and that's why when we get to heaven, our reward will be exactly what we've done with that faith. Okay? Because the faith in Jesus Christ is what will be rewarded, not faith in Andre. Okay? Faith in what Jesus wants us to walk in. And all of us have had successes and failures, let's face it, and I much enjoy the successes better than the failures.
You know, I was thinking of, again, Joseph, and I'm thinking of something that comes to my mind is sometimes God has to put you in a place where you can't get out of that place, which is prison for Joseph. You got to remember that he is sitting there looking my coat basically to his brothers and stuff. You wonder where this jealousy is coming from, you know, and he's got this favor, so he's doing this, doing that, and whatever. Now left to his own, he can use that to get what he wants, really. You go where you want, okay? But if God's got a plan for you, and you're the type of person that, you know, can find a way to use your good looks, use this, that, whatever, to get out of a circumstance, to do things. You know, sometimes it puts you into a situation where you can't get out of. And you might think it's horrible. You know, I think my own life with my feelings. You can't move. Okay, so it makes you think. You know, and of course Joseph had a lot of time to think when he was in that prison too, you know, and here he's interpreting dreams and everything else because he's talking to God, obviously, you know, and getting closer to God. But, you know, we all get put into these circumstances in different ways, okay? It might be financial circumstances where you can't go anywhere or do anything, but there's a purpose for it. God wanting to spend some time with you, number one, that's obvious, you know. And a lot of times you might not see it. You might go through life and not see it, you know. But he's molding you and shaping you for something. You don't know what it's for, necessarily, you know. So my whole point about Joseph and his life is look at what he went through in life, compare it to your own life, and see what, and that's what these stories in the Bible do basically. They give you an idea of what God is trying to do in your life, or the purpose for your life. So stay in contact.
Imagine the time from when his brothers sold him as a slave till the time he became second in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, which is another inference to Jesus Christ, because it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus was, as far as I'm concerned, second in command, at least right, in the Trinity Son. That we understand. And so he was given second in command of the whole world. Why? Because of service.
Obedience.
You know, obedience. You know, when he was in the jail, what did he do? He rose up to be the leader of the jail. He served other people. He helped other people. Listen, when you're down in the dumps, do you feel like helping anybody?
I believe he had leadership qualities even as a young man. And that's what his brothers despised about it.
Right.
They seen he was destined for something great. And they were just regular guys, you know what I mean?
Well,
and they despised
exit,
that.
Say you couldn't kill.
Genesis 50, right? When you read it, father calls the boys in and says, listen, I want to tell you boys what you're going to do. Okay, Reuben, you're going to have a little trouble in your life, because anybody who sleeps with my wife...
Shadow, it's okay.
Yeah, it's going to have a little few issues, you know? And went down and down and down. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, and he picked up his feet, put him on the bed, and he died. And I thought, wow, God was speaking to him to speak to his children or to prophesy, and maybe as a warning, you know? You could do this. If you continue in this, this is what's going to happen. But, oh, as a father, you know, got six boys, I hope they make right decisions, you know? And they don't all make right decisions, but they will, God's promises, but they will learn something along the way. Because for God to promise to me that he will save me and my family, I mean, just like Joseph, 70 people came, you know? Wow! A promise fulfilled. So you have unsaved members in your family or they're having trouble, believe God for that promise. See, because the only thing that God can't do is he can't lie. So if he promised it, it's about to happen. The hardest part for us is waiting. Anybody good at waiting?
Fritz is. Fritz's eyeballs lit up.
Part of that is where he goes in. I don't remember if it was to his father or to his brothers, and he basically says, you're going to bow down before me.
And that was his dreams when he was a kid.
Right. So, can you imagine, that's their family.
Well, that's the family of God.
Let's say I come in here and I come up to you. I'm using you as an example. It's like, you're going to bow down before me. What is your reaction going to be to me?
I'll bow down before you.
And this happens in the church a lot too, in various ways. So Joseph was very human, but God had to take him through a series of things to refine him, good word, into the man that God wanted him to be, which is the Savior, like what you're saying,
the world,
you know, but it wasn't going to be there overnight, obviously, you know, and it is like Jacob was another one that was similar to him, you know.
Esau is ironic that God gave Joseph a dream, and then he ends up interpreting dreams.
And how long was it before the beginning of the dream, and then the death of the dream, and then the fulfillment of the dream, and how long was that?
Well, when he was a kid, he had the dreams of his family bowing down to him, so it's about 20 years probably. And, you know, anybody want to wait 20 years for their dream to come?
Sure. I'm going to interject this.
We'll wait 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 minutes. That's a long time.
He makes a promise. But he don't always give you the time.
Yeah.
And then I start reading, you know, what is it? Hebrew, no. What's that faith chapter? 13, something like that. I read it since I was 6 years old. And I read in there, it goes, and they didn't get their promise until they were on the other side. Well, that ain't fair, God.
You didn't
play
that part,
huh? If that ain't right, I'll get my post up. I'm getting now.
Get you behind me, Sam.
Yeah, I'm not this weighty business. And so...
Oh, did he make it
in? What happens if you wait too long? You can't walk, you can't talk, you're not there, you can't... Wait a minute. And so your dreams no longer can exist. And I just read this thing, I don't know if this is even related, I just talk out there as an existential place. And I thought, what's the matter? It's just, everybody is seeking their significance. Jesus, kenosis, he's God. He's the epitome. Then what did he do? Even in the death, cursed death. That is a death, a vile death. Cursed is he that hangs on the tree, right? I don't know. I'm going to be your disciple. I don't want to be the cursed on the tree person.
Yeah.
Well, how can you fight demons unless you fight demons?
Wasn't it Peter the one that was crucified? He wouldn't even be crucified right side up.
Well, you said, can't humble yourself.
I don't
yourself.
Deserve to be crucified.
Come on.
Way
I tried 47 years. You can't. Go ahead, crucify.
You don't last too long.
Well, like, you can't be totally beaten. Because then only Jesus can get the glory. I tried to nail myself. I got holes in my arms here. I said, wait a minute. Now this hand's stuck. How am I going to nail that hand up? And so I tried my foot to nail it. This is a joke. By the way, I didn't know that. Sam said I had mental illness. I said, I don't have mental illness. I'm just happily crazy. So where am I at with this whole thing? Okay, God, you do keep your promises, whether I see them or not. You know what? I pray for people. I said, man, I know God's going to raise them. I know God's going to heal them. And they die. I mean, totally. And I asked somebody that last year, and I said, what is going on? You know, I went to the epitome of lowering myself. I became homeless. I didn't eat. I was cold. I did all that stuff. Self, you know, flagellation, right? And I asked the person, I said, what happened? I said, what happened to you? And they said, you got disillusioned. Man, he's like, oh, look, I've been waiting on this prompt. But given to not being a whatever I am now, but it's like, the theory is good. And the Greek people sat around, they spoke philosophy, and they all read that. And yeah, this and that. And what he did is remind me of when I got out over from Vietnam and came home and I went to nursing homes. And I just cried because they ministered to me, see. And I tried playing the guitar, and it took me 20 years, and I figured out you have to sing, and I still can't play Amazing Grace. So I thought, maybe the guitar is not for me. But what do I have? What is my significance?
Each man according to their faith. You know, you walk in the gift that God has given to you.
That's in your hand.
You know, I share according to what God gives to me, and to encourage people not to do what I do, but to be an encouragement for them to serve.
I'm going to jump in here.
How that is
it's like, oh, you know, I've seen demons come out of this. I've seen a snake come out of that. I've been on the Boo Lane, all that kind of hate, all that stuff. Okay, great. But I go to this restaurant for 40 years, Spring Garden, you know where that is. And there's this lady, and she just kind of gets my goat every single time. I said, why do you keep coming back here? And just like, I mean, and the guy said, people that ignore you, they despise you, unless you're preoccupied. But they, when they deliberately say, hey, how you doing? They despise you. Wow. And it bothers me. And sometimes I try reading, and sometimes this and that. Now watch what happens. All of a sudden this guy, Gail, gives me this computer. I get back up. Now hang on here, because it's like, I'm Joseph. You know, okay, I did the Potiphar thing, I did the prison thing. And guess what happened? What did I want delivered? What did I want? I wanted acceptance. I said, hey, I've been coming to Spring Garden for 40 years. When it was big. I said, hey, good morning, Mary. Whatever, you know, everything, Papa. You know, hey, okay, you don't like me, I don't like you. Hey, you say to me, I'm going to help you, what's on, right? And you know what? I got on Derek Prince. I said, Derek Prince, man. Remember Derek Prince? Anybody remember Derek Prince? Ravenhill, Tozier. I thought, man, these guys were full bore, real. These guys, if you ever heard any of Derek Prince's stuff, he's a provocateur. He was a father, though. And I got him real quick, and he was talking this and this and the names and that, and he was talking about this and that. I walked into the bathroom, and for the first time in 20 years, I said, no, I'm loved. I don't care what. Now, this sounds very simple to you, but it hurt. And I leave that place and man, I'm mad as heck. Well, it's because you're not in sin and you probably got over your mental illness. I said, no, finally, I remember my past. Finally, I remember who I am, what I am, what I do. And I said, and you've compromised.
you know, you don't want to upset anybody, think you know.
You guys can say I got
and
go
all that sort of stuff. I do want to get do some mechanical things. So we'll
I gotta go.
It's a little
my doors up. Let them know I'm open. Okay.
So Monday.
Do Monday's fine. Okay. Right? Okay. Okay.
My flies open.
But you want to know if your door was up. Oh, so
be blessed.
Practical.
Amen.
See what I'm
see,
saying?
See, Elsie.
Could have lost this. Could have lost. Is Sam
see? So you guys see Sam today?
He loved me.
Yeah, he's
lost. He loved me. See, I didn't choose to go to the Haven. That just happened. You know that. And so what am I gleaning from this? You know, I just love to be a bit, but well, I can't play guitar, but maybe I could go down here with him one day and walk the nursing home together. I'm just trying to get a connection.
You know, I mean, just, you know, you live your life, and wherever you stop, you ride a motorcycle so you can minister to motorcycle people, right? I mean, that's just where you are and what you're doing, and, you know, people have said to me, well, you know, I'm a carpenter by trade, and I worked the trade for the last 40 years, and they said, well, why aren't you a pastor or a teacher? I said, well, I go to places where the pastors and the teachers don't go.
Right.
I go to the job site where the F-bombs flow and and the vulgarity is beyond imagination, and I don't have to be vulgar, you know, but I do a good job, and I can share the gospel at a given time, and you know, so it's just be who you are in the day, because this is what we have. Give us this day our daily bread. That's it. And then tomorrow when we wake up, do the same thing. I use that prayer a lot, because in the parts of the prayer are so important. We addressed an issue yesterday about trespasses or debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who were debtors against us, who have done the wrong thing. Listen, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, man, you want to grow cancer? Just hold bitterness against somebody for some reason or another.
Forgive
and it ruins you.
Yes.
It doesn't ruin it. It's like, what was it? The statement was said last night, life is like, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's like drinking poison thinking that the other person will die.
That's good.
And you go, ooh. That's powerful, you know, because you have whatever, you know, and what causes enmity or division between people, you know, it could be anything. And, you know, if you go to that person and say, you know, I don't know what's the matter, but, you know, I want to ask you if I've done anything, will you forgive me? I mean, and being married, you know that that works pretty well, because, you know, men are always doing the wrong thing, and the women are always right, generally speaking.
Whoa.
And you know what, if you stay in that place of forgiving, you're in a better place. You just are in a better place. And it produces humility.